Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host Gwen Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Jane Kelly. Each week we visit with authors, editors or publishers who have regional or local connections. We hope to find out a little about their lives, what prompts them to write, and give them an opportunity to read some of their work for us. We're very pleased to have Jane Kelly with us today. Welcome, Jane.
Hello.
Jane Kelly grew up in Manotick near Ottawa and graduated from Carleton University with a degree in psychology before leaving for Toronto, where she met her husband John. They moved to Northumberland 28 years ago, and she and her husband still live on the 100-acre farm where she raised her two children. Since then, she's had her fingers in a lot of pots, but is always happy when she's building something, whether it's a magazine or a log cabin on her property. In 2001, she started Watershed magazine, and we'll be asking her about its beginnings and its very successful development. Her greatest pleasure is derived from sharing life on the ski hills or at the farm with her two young grandchildren, who have stolen her heart and are challenging her at every level. Well, that's the best of grannies, obviously.
It's hard to resist them.
It is. What inspired you to start with Watershed? Was it a sudden brilliant idea, or did you mull it over, or how did it go?
Well, when we moved to Northumberland in 1998, I very quickly became involved in the local scene, politics in particular. I sat on municipal council for a term, and then, with reckless abandon, I decided to run as Reeve. I lost the election, so at that point, I thought, I have to try my hand at something different. So I signed up for magazine journalism at Ryerson, and afterwards I picked up some work at the now-defunct Century Home. It didn't take long before I realized that I really wanted to produce my own magazine. And once the decision was made, there was no stopping me. As my mom would say, hence the pyramids.
So tell us about the background to its foundation. How did you start it? I mean, how does one just do that?
Well, it began around my kitchen table, brainstorming with a bunch of friends, John Delacour, Martha Robinson, Sean Pritchard. We developed our mandate, our business plan, our size, everything around the kitchen table. And by the summer of 2001, we had our first issue in hand.
I hope you've got copies of that.
Yes, I brought one here today.
Great. Yes. So what did the magazine look like in the beginning?
Well, I can describe it to you. It was rather thin, 24 pages in total, and it was on newsprint. Today we use a clay-coated stock, and it was, as I say, very thin. In the first few years, our editorial mandate was within the Northumberland boundaries, but today we cover a broader geographic region.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, interesting, though, that it's the same size as today's
yes.
magazine. What made you decide on that size? It's unusual, really.
Well, in the first instance, this was a newspaper stock, and it was much cheaper. But in the long run, it didn't reproduce as well as a clay-coated stock. Mm. The clay-coated stock holds the color, it holds the print, it's brighter, the white is brighter. Mm. And so in the long run, we decided to go with the more expensive stock.
Yes, but the actual size, was that sort of, is it because it...
I love the size of it. I like the
size. So you made that decision about the size.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I had seen another publication out of Caledon, actually, and it was called In the Hills magazine. And I looked at the size of that, and I thought, it feels so good in your hand, and the pictures sort of were so much more vibrant as a result of the size.
Yes, well, I agree. It stands out, too, because most magazines are not that large.
Yep.
And you're right, it has a sort of sense of space for the art
yes.
work. It's great. So, you're the founder, publisher, editor of Watershed. What were your hopes and goals for the magazine?
I think you what you should have said was jack of all trades, master of none. In the first instance, my hopes were to engage in a job that I loved. I'm fairly independent, and I'm not afraid of making decisions, so the idea of a magazine sat very well with me. My other goal was to create a vehicle that would link three distinct groups within our community: urban refugees, rural folk, and the townies. I wanted to bring the three groups together to help them recognize that they had many things in common. If I can continue along those lines, I'm satisfied with that I've met my goals. I wanted a magazine that spoke to a sophisticated audience, whether it was rural, urban, or otherwise.
Well, it's been a success. Everybody looks at it. Everybody reads it.
Well, that's the goal.
So, could you read for us something from one of your early editions?
Yes. Now, this is from a 2004 issue, and we made a very bold move by putting a picture of the restored, or not the restored, but picture of a Halifax bomber on the front of the cover. And the story was written by David Boyarzan, a local chap, and the name of the story is History in the Remaking, the Restoration of Halifax NA-337. It's 1:30 in the morning on April 24th, 1945. And 16-year-old Tor Marceau is lying in his bed in Hamar, Norway, a town on the shore of Lake Mjøsa. The silence was suddenly broken by a warplane flying overhead. The boy instantly feels a tremendous connection to the crew, somehow sensing they are in trouble. He never forgets the feeling. Roughly 50 years later, and an ocean away, eight men, mostly World War II Royal Canadian Air Force veterans, meet to discuss Air Force heritage. They are searching for a way to memorialize the 50,000 RCAF personnel who flew in Bomber Command during the war, including the 10,000 who died. This story is about the link between that boy and these men, and their tireless efforts to ensure a part of Canadian history is preserved for future generations. The warplane Tor Marceau heard early that April morning was the Halifax MK-7, number NA-337, one of the 6,178 Halifax bombers flown by Allied forces during the World War II. Halifax has played a major role in Canada's war effort. So the story continues and tells of the restoration efforts that went on down at the Air Force Museum in Trenton. And
it was fascinating. I remember going to visit there and watching them, and they were so enthusiastic.
It was wonderful. I went to take some pictures, and I told my husband, I left at about 9 o'clock in the morning, and I told my husband that I would be back before noon. And I went, was greeted by these fellows who actually had lunch ready for me, and they occupied me with fascinating stories for the whole day. Yeah. And when I left, they said, come back when you have more time. So the actual story generated worldwide interest. We got letters from Norway. We got a letter from a man who was actually in the painting that we featured in the article, loading one of the bombs on the Halifax. So we literally got notes from around the world with
exciting.
This article. It was very exciting. It was one of those, as they say today, tipping point moments for Watershed, actually.
Yeah.
So,
Does that article talk about how they lifted the bomber out of the lake?
Yes, yeah. They actually took it out of the lake. They had to engage submarines. It was quite the operation. Mm-hmm. It involved the Norwegian government. It involved the Imperial War Museum and the Canadian Air Force here. So it was a huge effort. And there's another line from one of the men who was truly a driving force. I was a pilot. I flew with 432 Squadron, the best squadron in Bomber Command, and I was the best pilot with the best crew. Jeff Jeffries smiles, but only slightly. You get the feeling he's entirely serious and has once or twice been required to defend it. So you get a sense of the fellows who were involved in this particular project. And they did complete it, and it's a fantastic representation of what they wanted.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Jane. We've been talking with Jane Kelly, publisher and editor of Watershed, and we'll learn more about her and her magazine after we take this short break.